Welcome to A Course in Miracles. All right. The section we're working on, we will continue to work on deeply because it is kind of a hitching post in A Course in Miracles where it talks about some of the metaphysics of this teaching that it's pretty, you know, A Course is pretty unrelenting this way, in that you are responsible for what you experience. And that's what we're diving down on now. The Course is pretty relentless this way. And, you know, it's bad news at first, because you probably came to A Course in Miracles with a complaint of some sort. Very possibly a complaint about God, or about the way things are, and why, you know, why isn't there pure love the way you would like to have it everywhere? Something, you know. So it can be bad news to the struggling ego that just wants to be lifted out. But then as you go around and go around, you start to wake up and you start to wake in. You start to wake in and discover yourself that's always been there. It becomes really, really good news. And it begins to hint to you and even describe to you the love from which you came. This is a continuum that is discussed and hinted at these pages. And we've been digging in and looking at the different levels. And we'll look at another level tonight. And so for our meditation, what I'd like you to look at for the next couple of minutes is the two selves, okay? The lowercase self you'll find throughout the book. That's the one you find in the mirror. And then there's the uppercase self. That uppercase self is invisible. They're both talked about in A Course in Miracles. And tonight, it will be helpful for you. We're going to look at the uppercase self. And so I'm going to ask you to think about where or what is your uppercase self. While you seem to be occupied with this world and with this body and with everything that keeps it busy, what is this higher self that you aspire to awaken to? What is this higher self? Where would it be? I just want you to think about that now. And I'll help you as we go along. Take a deep breath. Call your body now to attention. It is time for your body to serve your mind. Much use do you have for your body as you embark on your spiritual path, taking yourself where you think you are, changing your priorities from bodily pleasures or bodily safety or bodily priorities to a higher awareness. And I'm telling you, if you haven't already thought of it, it's invisible. It's invisible. This higher self, this spiritual self, call your physical body to attention and welcome an awareness of your spiritual self, even as you breathe easily. As your body is a neutral thing, it's glad to do whatever you ask. Ask it now to be an altar, steady, solid, and open. Quiet now the body. Whatever sensations or memories you have, quiet them. Let them go down small, making a space. A space for your true self, for awareness of your true self, the eternal self. Welcome, if your true self is indeed true, it is never absent. You may deny it or ignore it or run from it for many years in a row. But if it is a true self, it is right here. It is right now, as it always has been. Welcome. A miracle is simply a shift in perception from darkness to light, from material to spiritual, from asleep to awake. Call on a miracle now. What part of you can you reach or can you identify as your true self now? Finally, just for a minute or two more, think of a word or a phrase, an aspect that you can claim now as a quality of your true self. You know, it's often such baby steps that you can take in your spiritual awakening. Often you take them by mistake. You just realize. Maybe you read something or you got challenged in some way and you found that you were more, you were stronger, more peaceful than you thought. And you recognize you're stronger than you thought. Often that's the way you discover your awakenings have held. And so it's often baby steps, not big, huge lightning bolts. And you discover you're stronger than you thought. So, Tim, I got your mute. Can you tell us something about your true self? What can you claim as a quality of your true self that you have now?
My true self understands that I am not weak but strong. I'm not helpless but all powerful. I'm not limited but unlimited. I'm not doubtful but certain. I'm not an illusion but a reality. I can't see in darkness but in light. Those are all qualities of my true self.
Nice.
And they're present now.
Nice. Very good. exact opposite of the ego's laws. Very good. Ross, I got your mute. Do you tell us something about your true self that's available to you now?
It's like a peaceful observer.
Mm.
So, you know, a metaphor I came up with is like you're on the bottom of the ocean watching what's going on the top of the ocean where there's a storm and flotsam and jetsam and shipwrecks and all that. And none of that's affecting the peaceful observer that's on the bottom of the ocean just checking it out.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's like that.
That's real. Beautiful, beautiful. I got your mute, Barbara. Can you tell us something about your true self that you can identify now?
Yeah, the word I would use is becoming. I'll tell you a brief story about that. Just in the last week, I had the experience of just thinking about forgiveness, because I've really been trying to forgive and have felt like I was making progress in that direction. But it was something, it was an act that I was trying to do. And then I had the experience, I was laying in bed in the dark, getting ready to read the course, because I do that early in the morning, soon after I wake up. So I'm thinking about these things. And I had the experience of the part of my body that was touching the bed, laying on the soft bed. I felt like I was filling up with forgiveness, that I was becoming forgiveness. And it was a very distinct experience. And I thought, oh, forgiveness isn't an act. It's a becoming. That, you know, if you're doing this course, that it's kind of asking you to become forgiveness. And I had the sensation that my body was filling up with forgiveness, and then I snapped out of it. And, you know, it wasn't a complete process, but it was a very distinct experience. And I've been relating to the section of the book that says I think it's the test of truth, that there's this peace that you experience. And from that experience, it's something that I can access really easily, that sense of beginning to fill up with forgiveness. So that's, I consider that the capital S self.
Good, good, good. Yeah, indeed. As you allow forgiveness to be a quality that you love.
Yes.
Then you start to allow it to be present, even though there's nothing to forgive.
Right.
And then when there is something to forgive, it's already there.
Right.
So forgiveness, yeah, you bet. State of mind, the what's called miracle-mindedness.
Hmm.
That state is sort of like a state that you see water go through. Water goes through three different states. You know, you might have, liquid, and then if you cool it off, it suddenly changes to ice, and who knows where exactly it happened. But it just shifts.
Right.
It is solid. You can pick it up now with one hand.
Right.
Before, you could not. You could not. You could talk about picking up ice with one hand. Silly. When forgiveness arrives, and that it's like a power as well, but when that state arrives in you, you now have the capacity to be peace. You're at peace, but you also are the peace that you've been seeking.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful experience. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good, 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 good. Yes. Deborah, what can you tell us about your true self?
What I came up with as a word was here. And when I am here, I also hear this amazing music, and it's more like a crescendo symphony of really high tones. And sometimes I wonder, was this just neurons firing off, or is this celestial music or whatever? I love it. And it feels like it brings me home to go yes. there. So
nice. Anyway. Nice. Music is magical, beautiful, beyond words. I like that. It reminds me of once I was involved in what could have been a plane crash in the making. And we were an hour out of San Francisco over Nevada or something, you know, it was some open fields, and the plane was losing altitude for a long time. And there was no cities or anything around. And we were just coming closer and closer to the ground, and began to make these large loops in the sky around a big empty field for about a half an hour. Around and around and around, one wing down, the whole same wing the whole time.
Wow.
And finally the captain came on and said, we're having a difficulty with the aircraft after all this time, right? And he said, we'll be turning back to San Francisco. But he didn't turn back to San Francisco. He just kept circling and circling and circling. And I thought, this is so, and I used to fly a lot for business. And this never happened. I've never seen this. And I thought, well, you know, they have a difficult problem with this aircraft. We are a long ways away from any airfield. And I think he's dumping fuel. I think he's preparing to do an emergency landing. And he's found a place where he can dump fuel safely. And I think we're going down. And I had 45 minutes of circling to think about this. And you know what happened? Just like you said, music began to play. Classical music as I looked out the window. And it just became more and more comfortable with the inevitability. I can't do anything from this, you know, seat 19C. I'm just going to have to wait this one out. But this beautiful music played. And this beautiful, soft sense of everything's okay, no matter what happens, you know. It's a great, the music is a beautiful translator of your higher self. I love that. Good, good, good. You'll have that forever. Everybody has that forever. Some people it's music, other people it's other patterns. But pattern is the key. Pattern. Beautiful. I guess you're mute, Michaeline. What can you tell us about your true self that you can claim now?
Well, the first word that came up was trust, and I wasn't really clear on trust, and then trustworthy, and that translated to me as no doubt and peaceful acceptance. And peaceful acceptance of what is, and being trustworthy and trusting. And what is, that's basically what I got. So it was pretty powerful because I do struggle with self-doubt. I do struggle with doing the right thing, and you know, meditation's like so vitally important to me in my daily life, and even in spite of that, my, you know, humanity comes through. And so it felt really good that came up, because that means that I am trustworthy, and that my higher self is trustworthy, and that's
beautiful.
Basically.
So, Michaeline, for everybody, in the, you know, there is a door through which you agree to pass from this chaotic world back to your home. And for you, and for Course in Miracles, Manual for Teachers, Section 1, the development of trust, it's trust. So
I have to read that again. It's been a long time.
Yeah, there's like five stages of development of trust.
Right.
And it says this is the basis, the background, the foundation for all of the teachers of God. It's also the foundation for love. And it would also give you the confidence, the sense of trust you described. This will give you the confidence that you would need to let go of Michaeline's flimsy ways.
That's the truth.
Chaotic, circling ways. You know of this trust. You have faith in this trust that it exists.
Yeah.
And this is your path. Always learn to meditate on that trust. Come to experience that trust in your meditations, all of them. And you will find yourself firmly on your path to freedom.
Thank you, Andrew.
Good, Michaeline.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jason, I got your mute. What can you tell us about, your true self? Is there some aspect that you can claim right now that is indeed the real, your real self?
It's quiet awareness.
Nice.
I don't need to do anything. I just need to do nothing. I hate to be a cliche. I need to do nothing, but it's total peace. And I can go there anytime. The ego doesn't want me to.
Yeah.
It wants my attention.
Quiet awareness. Quiet awareness. Not descriptive awareness.
There's no action. I was thinking, sensing that there's no action. In that awareness, it's just, yeah.
Yes. That section, I need do nothing, is one of the most misunderstood sections of the Course.
Yeah.
I need do nothing, and if I don't start now, my ego will keep having me do the world over and over and over again. There is something for you to do nothing. There's quite a bit. You're so busy with your ego. Good. All right. So let's take a look. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go to our the paragraph that we're reading on page 448, paragraph 2. Surprise, surprise, it's the same paragraph as last week and last month. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us the entirety of paragraph 2 and paragraph 3, please?
This is the only thing that you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin. All to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. It is impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of him. It is impossible that happenings that come to him were not his choice. His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident.
Can you reread that very sentence again, just for emphasis?
His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident. No accident nor chance is possible within the universe as God created it, outside of which is nothing. Suffer and you decided sin was your goal. Be happy and you gave the power of decision to him who must decide for God for you. This is the little gift you offer to the Holy Spirit, and even this he gives to you to give yourself. For by this gift is given you the power to release your Savior that he may give salvation unto you.
And would you carefully read that last sentence again, number 8, for emphasis?
For by this gift is given you the power to release your Savior that he may give salvation unto you.
Thank you. Sentence 6, actually sentence 5, really. First, suffer, and you decided sin was your goal, and now 6. Be happy, and you gave, past tense, the power of decision to him who must decide for God for you. This is the little gift you offer to the Holy Spirit, and even this he gives to you to give yourself. For by this gift of choosing to be happy is giving you the power to release your Savior. Do you see the circle? That your Savior may give salvation unto you. Course of Miracles is using English language with individual words. It is describing a truth that defies proper description, but the genius of Jesus and Helen and her brilliant mind that he accessed, and she surrendered. By now, by chapter 21, Helen is about 12 chapters past fighting. She fought up through chapter 9, and she finally just gave in. She says, this is smarter than me. I'm going to stop editing. The first 9 chapters are difficult to read. There were many times that he had to go back and say, okay, change back the sentence that you goofed with before you went to bed. Or Bill would say, this doesn't quite read right. Helen, did you change this? They struggled for the first 9. Helen was, anyway. By now, she is in complete respect to the author. And a sentence like this, you can really take it literally. Can really invest in this amazingly circular. And it's describing something that you feel is true, but it's like a koan. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to your ego mind. But when you read that page 448 in the text, Jason, paragraph 3, when you read that it is up to you to give a gift to the Holy Spirit, and the gift is particularly happiness, when you are willing to do that, that unlocks the Holy Spirit's ability on the circle now to give you the very happiness you are. What? That's right. Your salvation is the experience that as you give you receive. To experience that instantaneous power is your salvation. You see, it's the opposite of victimhood. The world and time and space and limited resources has you struggling for yours, your peace, your security, your respect, whatever. The world's designed, and the prison cell that you've made in the world is designed to keep you limited. Your salvation is understanding that somehow, some way, that the very thing that you sought, the very true peace, true happiness, true joy, true love, true identity that you sought is in you, and your ability to unlock its presence is that you would actually give it, even to yourself. You recognize, Michaeline, that when you thought about trust, you kind of felt trust. And then you felt more trusting. And Deborah, when you relax enough and you get present and you allow the music to play, the music starts to be more significant of its own. It is empowered by you. It's quite the circle all throughout this book. That should be the title of my book about Course in Miracles, probably, The Circle. Hang on a second. I got to find out what this message is. Good. Okay. You bet, Jason. So, it's, you know, the book is full of this stuff. It's code that you'll uncode with your heart. When you, as you're awakening it with the book and the material, you accept the phrasing. The workbook does that. It teaches you the words of A Course in Miracles. You learn to understand what forgiveness really means, what miracle means, what a grievance means, what attack means, you Holy Spirit means, your brother. All that starts to come together by the clever wording, especially of the workbook. And then when you read sentences like this, be happy and you gave the power of decision to the capital letters. Him who, the Holy Spirit is part of your mind. It's not some other entity. It's part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. Ah, oh, beautiful. Okay. Now let's dig a little deeper into the true self, the picture of the true self. Turn to workbook page 421. Okay, workbook 421. I just typed that into the chat room. And look at lesson number 253. Number 253. Hey, Luann, welcome.
Thank you. I'm sorry I'm so late.
We missed you.
Did you? Oh, well, that's nice.
Workbook page 421, lesson 253. We've got a little job description here for you. You're well over 1,000 pages in A Course in Miracles by the time you get here. You've spent a considerable part of your intelligent life reaching by the time you've got here. Well, it's, and when you get to this lesson, it's really time for some ownership to occur. As you can see from the previous lesson and the beautiful, beautiful meditative one that follows. But there is some responsibility that has to occur in order for you to be able to confidently give yourself the very things that you seek. And so this lesson, let's have, are you there, Tim? Okay, let's have Ross. I got your mute, Ross. Let's have you read for us, please, the entire lesson 253.
Myself is ruler of the universe. It is impossible that anything should come to me unbidden by myself. Even in this world, it is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. What does not occur is what I do not want to happen. This must I accept. For thus am I led past this world to my creations, children of my will, in heaven where my holy self abides with them and him who has created me. You are the self whom you created, Son, creating like yourself and one with you. Myself, which rules the universe, is but your will in perfect union with my own, which can but offer glad assent to yours, that it may be extended to itself.
What? Ross, are you even reading English?
Yeah, that threw me for a loop.
A loop is the right word. We're going to spend some time with it. Remember I told you a couple of times Course in Miracles goes up a level or two, and then it comes back down?
Yep.
This is going up a level or three. But it's just a beautiful, beautiful good news. So let's look at it together. Remember I told you that 448 page that we're reading, it encodes different levels of teaching for you all in one page. And this is a place we're going to reach up a bit. So, of course, obviously, he's not hiding. He's not hiding the lesson today, you know, on that day. He's not at all. My capital S self is ruler of the universe.
Could I have the page again? I didn't
get sure. It. It's workbook page 421. 421. When you get there, it's the lesson on the top.
I got it.
I'm learning not to mix page numbers and lesson numbers in the same sentence. Huh? 28 years to get here. Okay. Myself is ruler of the universe. Humble enough for you? But you know, the Course says that when you say you're not the Son of God, that's arrogant. When you say that love is not everywhere, that's arrogant. You are trying to make something that's not given and not true and denying God. When you say that you're alone, that's arrogant. Of course, teach us that elsewhere. Of course, right? Only the truth is true. Okay, so the first paragraph pretty much restates what we're working on in 448, the first few sentences. But look at some of the information that is given us about what creation is. Yes, Jacqueline.
Well, universe is the world that we've created. Is that true? That's what it's saying, basically.
Yes, and in this particular case, universe, it means the term for
miscreated or created.
Michaeline, what's the term when you write something in prose that is figurative? It's the literary. So that's the literary universe, which is like a rhetorical universe. Everything, in other words, not just the planets that you think we've come aware of. No, Jacqueline. Bigger. So it's a literary universe, which means, you know, every possible thing that you are going to experience. It's important. The Course in Miracles, it does not address behavior, and it does not address specifics, because that would be the domain of the ego. It does not. It works strictly with your mind, and it always points to your freedom, and your freedom is not in a particular universe by any description at all. So that's why I say it's the literary universe. It's a bridge word that you can put in English writing that means everything. Good question. It's very important. It probably also counts out to iambic pentameter. So sometimes he does. He picks words for convenience at work. Okay. All right. Look at sentence 6. Well, sentence 5 first, right? This is what we're studying the last couple of weeks. This must, M-U-S-T, four-letter word, don't avoid it. Four-letter word, swearing to the ego. Four-letter word that you cannot afford to deny. Your higher mind, the part of your mind that has awoken to its true identity, we just call that part of your mind Jesus, because it's convenient, and wrote you a book. You wrote yourself a book called A Course in Miracles. That part of your mind left you a note here. It left you a note from what would be your future. Pay attention to this. When you see things like this, it might scare your ego a little bit. Pay more attention. M-U-S-T. When you see things like, when you see the unqualified imperatives like must or like always or like never in A Course in Miracles, they are Jesus taking you by the shoulders and saying, listen, I mean it. It might help you a lot if you listen now. And that's what's happening exactly here in this sentence. You read these lofty words when you sit down in that morning of November 10th or September 10th, 1 year. And you're going to read this and you're going to say, wow, this is pretty big. Even in this world, even in your dream, of course, right? That part's easy by now. But he says, he's talking about the big picture. Even in this world, but it means everything. What occurs, I chose, and what doesn't, I chose not. It's very restful to own that. But here comes a short little sentence, number 5. You cannot afford to read past. This is the invitation to your own awakening. This must I accept. Doesn't mean you force yourself to. It just allows you to know where you're going. You must accept entirely that happiness is from your choice and unhappiness is from your choice, even if you don't know how. It allows you to turn in that direction and start to deny the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, the gift of A Course in Miracles itself. You're not a victim. Somehow, some way, maybe you don't remember. Of course you don't remember, not maybe. You obviously don't remember. But as we're turning toward what I've called door A, and only Luann, I think, remembers that reference from Thursday night. As you turn toward the truth, the true path where you can progress, as you turn toward that, it is not a discovery, it's a denial of the false. Let me say it again in a few different words. As you do your spiritual awakening, you are not coming across something new. What you're actually doing is losing faith in the faults. This is something you can do. And what's more important is this is something only you can do. The reason why is that the faults, the world, and the things that you believe are true about your body and time and space and the world, you've invented. Nobody else knows about it. Not God, not me. You barely know about it. That's why the Course in Miracles catches your ego patterns that keep making your existence difficult, but it keeps you asleep in separation. You see how much work you have to do to stop blocking yourself from the beautiful music that Deborah described, or from Barbara's experience of actually relaxing into the forgiving state where everything would dissolve. This is also called Christ-mindedness, Barbara, is that you suddenly become aware that the truth is you are invulnerable. Therefore, forgiveness is easy because there's nothing that can catch you. There's nothing actually to forgive. So the forgiving state just surrounds you like water surrounds a fish. Naturally. You undo with A Course in Miracles. It's not actually doing something. Jason was talking about, I need do nothing. That section. And it gives you like 7 things that you need to start doing right now to stop doing.
Aren't you talking about, taking away the blocks that cause you to remember who you are?
Taking away the blocks that cause you to remember the ego. Take away the blocks that allow you to remember what you really are.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, you bet. And it turns out that if you remove the addiction or the habits of ego thinking, guilt, fear, specifics, unfairness, victimhood, separation by all its names. As you remove those thoughts, instantly the connections that were always there are obvious. You don't have to find them. You don't have to invent them. I wouldn't mind doing this every single meeting. Hold your finger here. Go to page 336. 336, 338. Well, I should do it every meeting until I can remember the page. I just love this. This is my favorite. Captures 338. It's one of the things, it's one sentence that captures what we're doing. It captures the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles in a single sentence. It's such a gift.
In the lessons.
It's in the text.
Thank you.
338, front of the book. Look at paragraph 6. It must be highlighted by now if you've been to enough of my meetings. Look at that. Barbara. And it's really the first sentence, but the whole paragraph is beautiful. So I got your mute, Barbara. Would you read for us paragraph 6 in its entirety? Take your time. This is a gift to you from Jesus on what is actually happening. Please go ahead.
I have 2 stars and an oh yeah.
Okay.
Paragraph. So, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And then,
yeah, Ross.
And then somewhere else it says that it's not necessary for you to find out who you are. When you remove these blocks, who you are will reveal itself to you of itself.
True.
Yeah. That seems like that sentence should be in here. It seems.
I agree. You know, I don't know where that is. If you find it, let me know.
I could search it. If you want me to search it, I'll search it real quick.
You don't have to do it now, but make a note. That would be really great because you're right. That'd be beautiful to have right there.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? So there's a metaphysics of what you're doing, why you're doing it, and if it's not working, why it's not working. If you're seeking for love outside yourself, oh, that's easy. Hey, Jesus, why am I seeking for love outside myself? Well, you know, it's because you're fixated on hatred within. And you're afraid of that, of course. But since you think it's within you, you think there's no hope. Great trick that you've played in order to actually act out separation. I mean, you had to do it in order to get into this particular roller coaster ride. That was the price of admission, is this belief system. It's not a sin. It's just you took it a little too far. And part of your mind says, let's go home. Let's go back to love. You're like, okay. Everybody's reading Course in Miracles. It's like, well, all right. Or if you're on a spiritual path at all, you've already decided, I think I want to go back to something more trustworthy. Yeah. Okay, back to page 421 in the workbook. Lesson 253. And I'm calling out this short little sentence that is like the fine print, one of the multiple places where there's some fine print in Course in Miracles, and eventually you will have to read this and take it as, wow, I think I've been instructed here by my teacher. This must I accept. And he says, 6, here's what you get for it. When you actually turn yourself away from victimhood and start to own the part of you, that you're actually a creator, and start to own that you're living your own thoughts. When you do that, here's what happens. Sentence 6. For thus am I led past this world. That's two words, this and world. Everybody knows what this world is all about, and he's not spending any time on it here. But you can be assured he means time, space, ego, hatred, loss, lack, struggle, hope and pray for a better day tomorrow. That's this world. For thus am I led past this world to what? To my creations. Very few places in this book where it talks about your creations or creations at all. Why is that? Why is our creations practically hidden in this book? Ross, why is creations not a bigger topic in A Course in Miracles? Oh, sorry, I should have unmuted you.
Speaking for myself, I barely have a handle on what they are. I don't really feel like I understand them.
Fine.
It's something to do with your thoughts of love and kindness is what you create, and it's extended because obviously you're not creating anything new. Everything's already here.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You're definitely on the right track. Luann, I got your mute. Why is it Course in Miracles doesn't talk a lot about creations? 1,300 pages.
Creations are what we do once we are back to who we really are. And not what we think we're creating. We're just making it. We're not creating it.
Right? Everything here is made. Everything here is made. Anybody else want to pitch in?
Yeah. just with the fact that I am totally confused every time I see my creations. And, you know, I don't get it.
Okay, good, good. Because you're, name one.
I can't. I every time I come up against my creations, I just go blank. I have no idea what my creations would be in good. The context of this sentence good. Or any other sentence I've ever seen it in.
Good, good, excellent, good, good. All right, well, that's good. That means you're paying attention. I love it. Luann?
If anything comes from love, then that's a creation.
But you're kind of muted there, Luann. I don't know why, but...
Because I
mean, you're there, but it's super quiet.
Yeah.
Now you're completely gone.
Her volume. Her volume.
Yeah, okay. Your mute is off, okay, Luann, but now you've gone to completely quiet, so we can't hear you.
Turn up the volume.
So high that I couldn't...
Coming back up.
I don't know why it's...
All right, click on your screen and go to microphone and see that your microphone is turned on and up, and make sure that your speaker's not sitting on a cushion or something. Your microphone on the bottom of your phone is buried on a cushion. So, yes, Barbara, your creations, in order to qualify as a creation, it would have to be permanent. To be something that's made, it would come and go.
Okay.
And it's made out of something else, borrowed. To devolve back into what it was, the brick is still a brick. Even though it's made into a beautiful fountain or in front of a bank, you can identify that it's still a, you know, 4-inch by 6-inch brick. So that's made. But a creation is an extension of will, and it's forever. Michaeline?
I perceive my creations as the lasting love that I extend to others. And sometimes because the concept of it being a creation isn't physical, it's only eternal.
Right, right, right. So believe it or not, in the same sentence, the next few words define creation.
Okay.
Look at that. Three words. Well, four words.
Yeah.
Children of my will. This is Jesus with the setting off with commas, which is so easy to read right past. But there it is in black and white, defining for you, your teacher's hand, what are creations. They are children of your will. Period. End of discussion. All questions answered, if you understand the words. So, you know, children come from, of course, right? Children follow from the parent, from the source. That's easy enough. But will is something you kind of have to look at and understand that he means that literally. By now, like I say, you're 1,000 pages into the book, and you've probably gone back and forth, maybe been to a few meetings and discussed it with other people to find out that A Course in Miracles uses wish for the ego and will for your right mind. When you will something, it is done. When you will to go to college, it may take you 4 to 10 years to get through college. But you understand that when you've accomplished something, you willed it. You did not wish it, and you followed through, and it happened. If you say you're going to wash your car tomorrow, and you mean it, this is an act of will. You can feel it. when it says that darn car will be washed. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, I'm going to skip my weekend activity until the car is, you know what I mean? When you mean it, you mean it. So will has a resolve to it. That means it's a gift to yourself with all of your power behind it. Imagine if you had access to your will being the extension of God. That's all the power there is, and nothing is denied you. You have that to look forward to. So, yes, Michaeline, and yes, Ross, and yes, Luann, when you act with your heart and your mind unified with your Holy Spirit as a guide, and you actually step outside of your selfish small self, you have thoughts of joining, even here in the dream, that will be called your creations, because they are actual joining thoughts. They're beautiful, like beautiful music. Once it's created, you go, wow, that's it. In time, in tune. And, you know, there's music written, you know, 500-600 years ago. Pachelbel and Beethoven. It will never go away. Why? There's some stuff that was written 10 years ago and hasn't been played in the last 5 years. Maybe it'll never be played. But some of this music that is in so much time that, I must say again, don't miss it. The word pattern. Pattern. Like the music Deborah was describing. When you go beyond words, when you take your journey beyond words, your path, some people call it vibration. Your path begins to surface patterns that are there for you to recognize, and you can quickly go beyond the chaos of victimhood and the ego. You recognize patterns like you recognize good music. Good music works because there's a pattern there that your mind recognizes universally. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Even there's some parrots that can tap to good music. You know, they lock into the pattern. Pattern. So Luann, we can't hear you. Not sure why, but I see your mouth moving, but it's perfect silence.
Is it better now?
Now we can hear something. Yeah.
Weak.
Something. I wanted to give an example. In 1990, my therapist said, why don't you become a psychologist? And everything in me said, yes. I mean, it was like a revelation. And the next 10 years that I took, and I took it because I was having such a great time, the next 10 years, everything went right. Everything was like, that was, I don't remember any problems going on during those 10 years. It's amazing.
She doesn't remember any problems getting a PhD. Excuse me. There were plenty of problems getting a PhD in 10 years, but because she had willed it and because her heart and her mind were aligned, she didn't notice the problems. She just got her PhD in 10 years. She says no problems. Well, that's the way, isn't that beautiful? When you have the passion for something, you can afford the inconveniences. You can afford the struggle.
Yeah. They're fleeting. They're not around.
Yeah, they're fleeting. They're just, oh yeah, you go right past them. Whereas if it's a task that you did not want to do, but that you were forced to by the government, you would be complaining left and right, and you would be able to tell us all the struggles of a PhD and go on and on for hours, and how your tests were unfair and poorly graded, and the teacher wasn't so good, and on and on and on. But you know what? When you're aligned, you go right past the problems. Beautiful example. Good, good. So there it is, folks. If you want to know what a creation is, it's a child of your will, not your wish, of your will. This must you accept. You do have a will, and you also have the ability to dream or to wish or to of course, calls it a misuse of the created, of the creative energy, and you dream instead. And then you make stuff that's not permanent, not even not made to last. And so, for thus am I led past this world to my creations, children of my will, in heaven, with a capital H, where my holy self abides with them, with your creations. And coincidentally, him who has created me. So much in there. I think we'll probably spend too much time on this. But just want to make sure you see this and you see that discussion, because I want to get to the second paragraph, which is even higher. That this paragraph, when you're ready, this paragraph is waiting for you to take you the next step. And then the next step in your spiritual understanding, it's written here cleanly as a stair step to walk on. And you already own a copy of the book, so it's up to you. It's waiting for you. Isn't it wonderful? But there's more, and there's more. Look at the next paragraph. I feel like I'm rushing, but we kind of have to get back to our normal level of discussion sooner than later. But first, let's look at the next paragraph that's waiting for you. In your own book, you are the capital S self, whom capital W, so there's no mistake of what we're talking about here. You are the self who created Son? Is that a typo? That's weird. You see what I mean? The circle I'm always telling you about. I want you to notice the capital letters. It's really important. The sentence only makes sense because of the capital letters. This is the truth. This is the simple truth that is pointed out to you for you to understand what you are. You are not what you see in the mirror. You are what is pointed to in this sentence. You do not know that. The part of your mind that is sitting in a chair and needs to have breakfast tomorrow morning and some sleep in between, that part has no clue and cannot know of what we speak. But your true self giggles when it reads this. It says, oh yeah. You are the self whom you created, Son. Created is a verb there, right? Creating like yourself. Capital letter. And one with you. So there's no mistake that we're talking about individual egos that were created running around the planet. Not what we're talking about. Oneness defies separation. Simple enough, right? Can you believe the level of discussion we're having here? You are the Son whom you created. You are the self whom you created, Son. Wow. Do you remember love being discussed in this book? It's kind of spoken about in code a few places also. But one of the things you should remember is that love only communicates with itself. Love and fear do not get into an argument. Love is not victorious ever. It's a clue on how love actually operates. And do you see in this sentence, you are the self whom you created, son, creating like yourself. Extension, right? And one with you. The circle is complete. Oneness is not broken. Creation has occurred. Extension has occurred. A whole lot buried in these few words. My self, which rules the universe, is but your will, your whole, you know, you, Holy Spirit, holy will, in perfect union with my own, which can but offer glad assent to your will, that it may be extended to itself, finding a proper home in love. Love talks to love. Unity is not broken, and creation is completed by extension, not separation. And the music is in tune. The patterns are received as beautiful. Why? Because they're received by the same mind that recognizes the patterns. You see what I mean? In tune. This is why music, when it's in tune, is easily accepted, isn't it? And music out of tune is instantly rejected, isn't it? That's a clue. It's a clue.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Oh, yeah, please.
I'm wondering why the second to the last sentence, why the my own isn't capitalized. Why isn't the my capitalized?
Okay. All right. So one of the ways to read this, I don't know if you're going to like this, but here it is. Watch this. Okay, sentence two. Many, many levels, okay? Sentence two. Myself in capital letters. My divine self, my all-powerful, creative, one-minded self, which rules the universe, of course, it rules everything, is but your capital self in perfect union with my, in this case, you could put Jesus in there. My own. And now what you have is you have the messenger, Jesus. He is not capitalized. The messenger, Jesus, is a man, a human, a separate being that has awoken to the identity that it is not what it appears to be. Therefore, it's not capitalized. I'll tell you, I didn't know if you would like this or not, but this is a important recognition that puts Jesus at the proper level. Jesus is a bridge. Jesus is not a destination. Jesus is a fellow traveler. Jesus is not God. You have to recognize this. I'll show you another place in the book where it talks. Do we have time? We kind of do. It kind of fits. But, you know, eventually, you know, well, earlier in the book, you remember Jesus says, I'm your brother. Remember that? He says, I'm your brother, and you will do these things that I do and greater. That's in the Bible. It's in A Course in Miracles. He says, I'm just your brother.
Okay. I think I'm getting it. If it were capitalized, it would be going against the oneness.
Yeah, it'd be redundant. If it was capitalized, it'd be just silly redundant. It's already circular, but by not capitalizing it, it's inclusive.
Okay.
And it shows that the same will that would choose to awaken will be received by the will that is awake. Jesus is the will that chose to awaken. And it was received by some capital letters and welcomed home. So, I know, sometimes there's so much packed. I wonder why the book isn't twice as long. But we meet together so we can discuss these things. And I told you, this is one of the lessons that goes beyond our curriculum. It's not important that you understand everything I just said. It's not. There's so much beautiful work that's more practical to the level that most of us are to get through. This is not important. But know that it's here. You should know that it's here, and that it's this. These are your notes to yourself. This isn't foreign material. It's just written in a way that is there when you're ready to open yourself to see it. Barbara.
I just want to second that. And I really feel like, you know, how I described before how I was kind of stuck. And the more I say, I don't have to understand this.
That a girl.
I just have to read it.
That, yep, yes.
And trust. then it's much smoother. I mean, and my experience of it is much smoother.
And you end up with a sense of being moved, even though you
right.
know not how.
Exactly. Exactly.
Atta girl, Barbara. That's it. And what you're doing is you're trusting your ego less, and
yes.
you're trusting your true self more.
Yes, I think that's true. And it really helps.
It feels better. It's
it
a guide.
It does.
Well said. Well said.
Kind of like that Cohen, what is the sound of one hand clapping? You know there's something there, but it's like, yeah, I don't know what it means, but there's something there.
There's something there because there's a hand and that there's clapping. And are we redefining clapping or hand? Or yeah. Oh, wow. You know, I just hate to leave this behind. We've done so much work to get to this level of discussion. I wonder if we should spend a little more time looking at, let's just look at one little paragraph that has some of this invitation in it. Let me see if it's the right one. We only have time to look at one anyway. So let's take a look at 617, text page 617. Yeah, this is fine. This will bring us back to Earth. Excellent. Page 617, paragraph 1. It fits perfectly with what we're describing. And how to get there. How to... how to even be ready for some of these patterns that we're talking about. And so let's have Deborah, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 1?
And are we in the text or are we in the workbook?
We're in the text. Yes.
617, paragraph 1.
Yes, 617, paragraph 1.
Seek not outside yourself. Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail and you will weep each time an idol falls. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there. Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in his place. There is no other answer you can substitute and find the happiness his answer brings. Seek not outside yourself, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found. What if it is not there? Do you prefer that you be right or happy? Be you glad that you are told where happiness abides and seek no longer elsewhere. You will fail. But it is given you to know the truth and not to seek for it outside yourself.
Beautiful. Thank you. You remember, coincidentally, we earlier read that it's up to you to give happiness to the Holy Spirit to give to you. That little tight circle. Jason.
Last night, and I think even Monday night, discussing the issue of craving and wanting. And I'm sensing that God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, doesn't really want anything.
Tell me more.
But the ego wants, and that's where the Buddha said, you know, life is suffering. And that's the point of that, is wanting. Yeah. We want, and then we create, you know, the intricate maps in our synapses to think we're going to get something, and when we get there, it's not there.
Very good, Jason.
It's very, whatever we think is mostly, just stop thinking is a good point. I think I'll stop talking.
Miracle Principle 41. And by the way, if anybody has to go, you can go. We're going to chat a little bit about what Jason just said. You can stick around if you like. Miracle Principle 41. Wholeness is the perceptual content of wholeness, Jason, is the perceptual content of miracles. They thus correct or atone for the faulty perception of lack, which is wanting. Very good. That's a whole vector. That's another, I love it that you said that, Jason. That could very well be, just like from Michaeline, it was trust. For you, Jason, your path to the eternal may be the understanding of not wanting. Of not wanting. You said God does not. No, you're right. God, Holy Spirit, they don't want. There's a clue for you in chapters 4, 5, and 6 that says having and being are the same. This is a high-level truth. A Course in Miracles just announces and then moves on. It goes upstairs and makes this statement, comes back downstairs to the practical, but it's there for the people who are minded as Jason are right now. It is a little bit of truth, Jason, that is an eternal teaching, a koan that makes sense to you. You bet. Wanting is of the ego. Lack is of the ego. It is this idea of not being whole. And then, of course, says, well, if you've come this far, then you are ready to hear these short words. Having and being are the same. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Jason, teaching us.
You know, most recently, the last year or so, I've been mostly just wanting to die, right? I don't want to live. And that's a wanting as well. And I get up in the morning, I wonder, why am I alive? It's just, I don't know. I'm not trying to whine about it. But I do want to say earlier, in reading those four words, that for about 6 seconds, I felt happiness, and yeah. I knew it, and then it was gone. And it was a real eye-opener that I'm creating that I want to die, which doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why I'd want to do that.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm missing the energy I had, you know, before my surgeries. And I'm just thinking, this is not life. I don't want to live. But if I keep telling myself that, then that's what I'm going to get, more pain and suffering and not wanting to live.
Yes.
But just those few seconds of happiness was really an eye-opener. Thank you.
That's a holy instant.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for pitching in this very difficult discussion we had tonight. It's kind of above our normal pay grade here to discuss these things, but isn't it great that this is in your book? It will meet you where you are. It's got way more than you bargained for most people. Maybe some of you people already had this. You know, I didn't. I discovered that and said, wow. So good, good, good. Thanks for studying A Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you.
Let's do it again next week,
everybody.